KBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rena Roy. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has arrived at the NATO summit in Lithuania, critical of the timetable for his country to join the alliance. Zelensky is expected to meet with President Biden and other NATO leaders during meetings this week. The mother of Evan Gershkovich, the Wall Street Journal reporter jailed in Russia for more than 100 days now, giving an interview to ABC's George Stephanopoulos, telling him that she and her husband are in contact with their son.
Evan is writing letters. We have ongoing conversation. He tries to take care of himself. He meditates. He watches his diet. He exercises. He has 1 hour of walk.
Ella Milman says she's been assured by President Biden that the government is doing everything it can to bring her son home. Severe flooding in Vermont, roads washed out, homes and businesses inundated with water. There's a dam in the capital city that's almost at capacity. This is ABC News. A new grand jury coming together in Georgia over the 2020 election.
23 grand jurors are being chosen to decide whether Fulton County prosecutors have enough evidence to move forward with a criminal case against former President Trump and others in connection with the attempt to alter the 2020 presidential election results in Georgia. Trump has been a focus of the investigation after he called Georgia's Secretary of State asking him to find nearly 12,000 votes to overturn his defeat. A previous grand jury heard from dozens of witnesses and recommended charges. Trump has denied wrongdoing and lashed out at the district attorney. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Bank of America is paying around $250 million to settle accusations that it cheated customers by double billing for some fees and held back rewards they earned. About $100 million of that will go back to its customers. Amazon's annual Prime Day event running now. Shoppers are expected to make about $13 billion worth of purchases between today and tomorrow, up around 10% from last year. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The wildfire burning in central Wisconsin is bigger than first thought. Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources now says the fire burned about 800 Paloma. That's more than twice as much as earlier estimates. Investigators say the Pallet Fire was caused by burning debris yesterday afternoon. 20 buildings are destroyed and 8 firefighters were injured getting the fire under control. Fire danger is still high in most of Wisconsin. Wildfires can start and spread quickly because of drought, warm temperatures, and low humidity. It should be less windy today, but fire officials say you should avoid burning anything for the time being. Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Central Wisconsin is especially vulnerable to dry conditions because of all the groundwater used to irrigate commercial vegetable crops. The Central Sands area has more than 3,000 high-capacity wells, which draw as much as 100,000 gallons of water a day. More than 95% of Wisconsin's potato crop is irrigated. Hydrologists say not all the water pumped for irrigation returns to groundwater. Wisconsin state government has a projected $4 billion surplus now that the two-year state budget is in place. The state started with a surplus of $7 billion at the beginning of the budget process. Much of that was one-time money left over from federal COVID pandemic relief. When he signed the budget, Governor Evers suggested he and the legislature could take another look at taxing and spending. Republicans seem more inclined to pass their own standalone tax cut bills, even though Evers would likely veto them. There's a move to make older people go to work to be eligible for federal food assistance. It's part of the Farm Bill working its way through Congress. Advocates for low-income Americans say it's a bad idea. Eric Tegedoff explains why.
A deal in Congress to raise the debt ceiling includes increasing work requirements for people receiving SNAP from age 50 to 54. Don Pierce with the Hunger Relief Task Force says people will struggle to meet these requirements for many reasons, including physical and medical issues.
If they have to work X amount of hours a week, if they have to do a certain amount of job searches a week, they're not going to receive their benefit, and that's how it makes them hungrier when they raise the work requirements.
About 750,000 Americans. Lawmakers are scheduled to start debating the Farm Bill in September. I'm Eric Tegedoff.
A new study finds many healthcare providers don't have enough experience to provide gender-affirming care. Researchers found nearly 1 in 4 transgender and non-binary patients has had to teach their medical providers about their needs. Guadalupe Marquez Velarde says she'd like to see better instruction in medical schools.
Unfortunately, many transgender individuals and a lot of states in the United States right now are finding themselves in this position, are finding themselves not only do their providers might not know how to treat them, but their providers might be legally prohibited from providing them care.
Marquez Velarde helped lead the study at Utah State University. She says a lack of understanding can lead to bad health outcomes for transgender patients. A scandal on the Northwestern University football team means no more training camp in Kenosha. The Wildcats have held their preseason practices at UW Parkside since the 1990s. Former head coach Pat Fitzgerald was fired this week after allegations of hazing abuse at training camp were published in the Northwestern student newspaper. And one of the stars of the Wisconsin Badger football team is back with the squad after being suspended. Jordan Turner is reinstated after his first time drunk driving arrest last month. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell.
For the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. There is news on the condition of a child who fell into a bonfire in Fond du Lac last Saturday. Authorities say the child is a 1-year-old boy and that the incident happened in a backyard. The boy is recovering at a Madison hospital. Officials say he suffered burns to his arms and upper body, but his condition is improving. An Escanaba man has been arraigned in the death of 22-year-old Harley Corwin, also of Escanaba. Tavares Jackson was charged with homicide in Delta County District Court yesterday. Corwin, who was 7 months pregnant, was last seen on July 4th. Her body was found in the woods near Ford River Township on Saturday. According to Delta County court documents, Jackson has a history of violence and is also a registered sex offender. A motorcyclist is dead after being struck by a pickup truck. The incident happened Sunday evening just after 5:30 in Bailey's Harbor. The Door County Sheriff's Office says a pickup truck was driving north on Highway 57 and turned to go west on County E and hit the man on the motorcycle. The motorcyclist has been identified as 23-year-old Bradley Jordan. Jordan was treated for serious injuries at the scene and later died at the hospital. The driver of the pickup truck and a passenger were uninjured. Well, if you're passionate about art and birds, boy, has Civic Media's Melissa Kay got news for you.
Want to see your artwork on a stamp? The DNR is accepting artwork entries for the Wild Turkey, Pheasant, and Waterfowl Stamp Design Contests. Any legal Wisconsin resident, 18 years of age or older, living in the state, can submit an entry. The deadline is July 15th.
If you're thinking about proposing marriage, why not do it at a place that is already famous for leaps? Lambeau Field. A website called Mixbook.com surveyed 3,000 single people and compiled a list of 250 popular spots in America for a wedding proposal. Lambeau Field is the 128th most popular spot to take a knee. Fond du Lac's Lakeside Park was another local destination for lovers, coming in at 191st. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cold front moved through the state last night. It produced rounds of showers and thunderstorms, some much-needed rainfall. But unfortunately, there were a few severe storms as well. Reports of large hail in the northern part of the state, along with some strong wind gusts into central Wisconsin. That front has now settled to the south. Cooler and drier air has built in behind the front. Lots of sunshine will be around the state today, with highs in the mid-70s through northern Wisconsin, some mid-80s in the southern part of the state. Another system will move in from the west as we look into tomorrow. We'll begin to see cloud cover increase later on tonight, and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms as we look into tomorrow. That system will linger on into Thursday and even a little bit of energy up aloft Friday to keep some chances for showers and storms in the forecast. Temperatures the next few days won't stray too far from average. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
The Bucks in action tonight. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks continue their summer league play tonight when they face the Brooklyn Nets in Las Vegas. The Bucks beat the Suns over the weekend thanks to Marjon Beauchamp leading the team with 20 points, although he got off to a slow start.
1-for-7.
1-for-7, okay.
Yes, sir. Really just staying calm. I've been working the whole summer, just staying composed and trusting my work, leaving my shot, you know, and they start falling and everything start rolling for me.
Tip-off time at 5 o'clock. The Detroit Pistons have signed forward Isaiah Stewart to a four-year rookie contract extension worth $64 million. It's the biggest deal of its kind in Detroit since Tom Gore took over as the Pistons owner in 2011. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have reinstated linebacker Jordan Turner after a two-week suspension. Turner, who was the number two leader in tackles for the Badgers, was arrested for drunk driving on June 26th. The Wisconsin State Journal says that earlier that month, he was pulled over for going 117 miles an hour on I-39 outside of Milton, Wisconsin. Northwestern University has now fired their head football coach, Pat Fitzgerald, after what they say was more evidence of hazing in their program. Fitzgerald was hired in 2006 by then-athletic director Mark Murphy, now the president and CEO of the Packers. Northwestern now investigating their baseball coach for alleged abusive behavior. Major League Baseball, the Blue Jays' Vladimir Guerrero Jr. won the home run derby, hitting 72 out of the park.
Toronto, thank you. Blue Jays fan, thank you. I did it. I'm the champ.
His father won the derby in 2007, the first father and son to do so. The All-Star Game coming up tonight at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. Game time, 7 o'clock on Fox. Pitcher Corbin Burns is there representing the Brewers and brought along his son, Carter.
Yeah, it's awesome. Being able to represent the Brewers now for 3 years. Just to take that honor is obviously it's awesome, and it's a fun week. It's a fun time. Definitely going to enjoy it, especially my son's a year older now, so he's going to get to enjoy a little more too, and maybe remember it. Might still be too early, but it's a fun week.
The Brewers' Christian Yelich is having a great year. Says he doesn't mind getting a few days off.
Yeah, it's nice to reset and get your body a couple day break. I think we had 17 in a row here to finish out the first half, so to get a few days off to recover, physically, mentally is always nice, and then get ready to do it again on Friday with a big series in Cincinnati.
Yelich brought up to the major leagues 10 years ago this week. Craig Counsell says 10 years in the big leagues is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, I think there's 20,000 Major League Baseball players ever. I think there's around 2,000 that have, maybe less, that have done 10 years. So, and Christian's still a young guy, so he's got a long way to go. But it's a significant thing for players. It's a big round number, and that makes it significant. But 10 years is, it puts you in a rare air of players for sure, and it's a difficult thing to accomplish.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows dip down to about 59. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 72. Turning warmer Thursday and Friday, with highs from the upper 70s to the mid-80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 72.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive of the day. Call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. Back on the grind, we are joined, of course, today by Mr. Luke Mathers. Luke, what up?
How are we doing, Will? It's a Tuesday afternoon here in the state of Wisconsin. Hopefully, you're staying safe out there. There are 11 different wildfires across the state of Wisconsin yesterday, Will. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources responding to those. Largest one in central Wisconsin, about 800-plus acres. I want to say they DNR bumped that up to about 900-plus acres. So it is hot. It is dry. There are fires burning across the state of Wisconsin, so be safe out there. And we appreciate you joining us here on Town Call on this Tuesday afternoon.
Devil's Lake was on fire a little bit yesterday, too, Luke.
Yeah, that was one of the, I believe, just shy of a dozen. 11 different wildfires across the state. So I fear this is going to be a little bit more of a common occurrence with where the climate is going. But this is what's happening right now in Wisconsin. We got Aaron on the board, too. Aaron, how are we doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
You know, here I thought that as long as I didn't move to California, I wouldn't have to worry about my house burning down every other week.
It's Canada. It's everywhere. Like, this is the extremes of climate change are going to be seen in wildfires, in the massive flooding that's happening in the East Coast right now. It is very unstable conditions when it comes to what climate change is going to mean. And even though the Great Lakes region is supposed to be kind of a safe haven for some of these things, we're still experiencing it. I cannot recall a summer that had as many wildfires as we've been seeing here in Wisconsin this summer. And with the air quality, like Canada, breaking records over the last 25 years.
And it's funny, Aaron, you made the joke about, living in Wisconsin because you don't have to worry about your house burning down. That's frequently a response I would have to some of my friends on the West Coast would be, it hurts to breathe when it's really, really cold, but at least I don't have to worry about my house burning. Take what you can get, right? And that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's the same kind of thing I would say, or like, at least I know for most of the year, I won't die of heat stroke.
I mean, being outside right now is rough. It was the hottest week. Average temperature across the globe, we have broken the record every single day for the past like 4 or 5 days as well. So this is not going away. This is not changing. We better get used to it. Luke, my question for you and for the audience today, reading from a piece over at WPR, noting that the Evers budget vetoes leaves the state with a projected $4 billion surplus. I'd like to ask you, the people of Wisconsin, how do you feel about the state sitting on $4 billion that won't be visited for at least the next 2 years? Reading over from the WPR piece, one of the biggest questions headed into this year's state budget debate was how Republican lawmakers and Governor Tony Evers would handle Wisconsin's record surplus. Now that the dust has settled, there's plenty of money left over. Wisconsin began the two-year budget cycle with a projected surplus of roughly $7 billion in its general fund. Following the budget vetoes last week by Evers, the current projected surplus for the next budget is about $4 billion. according to Jason Stein, research director at Wisconsin Policy Forum, quote, there's still a massive amount of money that the state has in reserve, unquote. I would agree with that, Luke. $4 billion is a massive amount of money that could have tons of implications for the people of Wisconsin at the state level. I'd ask you, $1 million, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Luke, how do you personally feel about Wisconsin sitting on about $4 billion in projected surplus?
Yeah, I think this is probably what should have been expected when it came out the where the two sides were on budget negotiations. The fact that Republican lawmakers in the legislature referred to the Evers budget proposal, which would have raised taxes by, I want to say, it was about a couple hundred million dollars, less than $1 billion, what Evers' budget proposal would have spent. Still a good amount of money, but when your state is in the fiscal shape that it's in and being able to take a $7 billion surplus and invest it back into the state, not necessarily the worst thing. We could have seen more return on some of those tax dollars spent, like we saw with the Main Street Bounce Back program that was implemented throughout the COVID-19 recovery spearheaded by the Evers administration. A lot of small businesses had the money to be able to continue serving their communities as a small business, and that tax base continued to come back through what the state collected and led to that $7 billion surplus. And so for that to be there and that seemingly to have worked over the past couple of years, investing in our communities shows that we can have a thriving economy. We can be in a place of that surplus. Whereas cutting taxes, trickle-down economics, the supply-side economics that we've seen over the last 40, 50 years, hasn't necessarily had the best track record. And so spending $3.5 billion, nearly half or more than half of the state's surplus. And so after the budget that was passed and the line item vetoes that occurred by the Evers administration, a $4 billion surplus that is going to be still determined how it's spent is not that surprising of an outcome to me. But it is troubling when there are problems that need to be addressed, as Will, you and I discussed on the show yesterday, PFAS contamination, one of those problems that needs to be addressed. $4 billion could address. Even a small chunk of that would be a large amount of money to address PFAS here in the state of Wisconsin, that a new U.S. Geological Survey shows is more prevalent than we may have thought before. 45% of American households, tap water containing PFAS. But for that money, that $4 billion to sit there and not address problems like that one for the next 2 years, as this budget, the next budget writing process is going to begin in March or April of 2025. That's a lot of Wisconsinites drinking contaminated water and dealing with other problems over the next 2 years that this $4 billion surplus could address right here and now.
Mm-hmm. And remember, Luke, as well, the budget that Evers originally presented to lawmakers in February, a majority chunk of the surplus would have been spent on the state of Wisconsin, whether it was education, broadband access, childcare, paid family leave, a range of other government programs, and would have ended with a gross balance of about $634 million, according to WPR. Now, the budget the Republicans passed in June would have spent more of the surplus on the massive income tax cut. That is what we ended up seeing. And the budget would have left a similar balance of about $588 million. So the question really becomes, what do you want to see your tax dollars going towards? Do you want to see communal programs that benefit everyone? Do you want to see broadband access? Do you want to see healthcare? Do you want to see paid family leave? Do you want to see investments in education that will help grow the state of Wisconsin in the long term? Or do you want to see a massive tax cut to the wealthiest Wisconsinites? You know, we're very well aware of where each side of the aisle tends to land in this situation. And unfortunately, because of the layout of the Wisconsin legislature, one of those sides won out more so than the other.
Well, it seems like it's just a running out of the clock. It seems like we're going to take a knee and we're going to go into this budget with the way that things are done. Even though that $4 billion surplus is there, we're just going to let it linger. It seems at least Evers open. Governor Evers has indicated he is open to having another conversation about a middle class tax cut, because the one that was vetoed, a line item veto out of this state budget, was for the tax bracket that is now income earners from $30,000 a year to $300,000+ a year. And being able to concentrate that to a middle class tax cut is something that Evers has indicated he's open to. But it sounds like the Republican lawmakers are saying, no, it's not going to happen this legislative cycle. It's not going to happen again until 2 years from now, the next time lawmakers come to write a budget. But we've seen that they're fine running out the clock. All last year, throughout 2022, Wisconsinites were facing inflation, rising costs, and the state had a $3 billion surplus that turned into a $5 billion surplus that ultimately turned out to be close to a $7 billion surplus. While Wisconsinites were facing higher costs, and the Republican lawmakers in control of the Wisconsin legislature said, no, we're not going to come into session and address this problem. We're going to wait until we see what the governor's race is going to shake down between Evers and Tim Michaels last November. And so they had the chance to take a surplus last year, problems in real time, and they chose not to. It's not surprising, Will, that they are now choosing to, again, try to run out the clock over this next two-year process and say, we'll address that $4 billion 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm. And there was a quote from Governor Evers. He said, I'm giving the legislature a second chance. I'm using my broad constitutional veto authority to ensure ample state resources are readily available for the legislature to complete their work on this budget, to do the right thing, to rise to meet this moment of historic opportunity and responsibility, and to focus on passing real solutions for the urgent changes facing our state. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's counter to that, appearing last week on WISN AM, was, quote, that is never going to happen. We're not going to all of a sudden decide to spend the money. I think you hit the nail on the head, Luke. They want to wait to see what the results will be in 2 years, knowing that we will likely see a very similar situation play out to what played out this time. Whether it's conservatives campaigning on, we're going to cut taxes. We're going to cut taxes across the board. We're going to cut all of your taxes. Of course, they're not going to note that the largest percentage of that tax cut is going to go to the wealthiest earners in the state. But they can then turn around and say, we had our tax cuts prevented last time via veto. That's why this election is so important. We need to win this election. It's just campaign rhetoric. That's all it is, time and time again, because so much of American electoral politics is winning rather than doing what's best for the people that you represent.
We got a text from the 414 listening over on WAUK, the Shaw in Waukesha, saying 100% tax cut for rich people. It's yacht season, and there's an at sale at Saks. So that is the input from one of our listeners over there in the 414, Will, saying that is what seems to be the stance for some lawmakers is what they would like to see done. We want to hear what your feelings are on a $4 billion surplus that's effectively going to be kicked down the road 2 years from now for the next budget writing. We're going to save this money for a later date. I want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You are listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. You can share those calls and texts with us all hour long here across Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. While you're at it, you can text us or call us right from the new interface on that app. Downloaded wherever apps are downloaded, either Apple Play Store or Apple App Store, or the Google Play Store. Download the app, take us with you on the go, and contribute to the conversation. Call or text 844.
It's the future.
There you go.
Future.
Quick and easy for you to engage with the show. 844-967-2789. Town Call is going to be right back.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Trevor Ault. Leaders are gathering for the NATO summit in Lithuania's capital. President Biden meeting with Turkey's President Erdogan for talks following Erdogan's approval for Sweden to join the military alliance. The U.S. and allies are also focused on expanding support for Ukraine against Russian attacks. Ukraine's leader Zelensky is also there, urging NATO to let his country become a member. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg opening the summit says those plans are on track, but there's no timetable.
Today we will make many decisions for an even stronger alliance. We will increase our practical and political support to Ukraine. This will bring Ukraine closer to NATO, where it belongs.
If Ukraine joins the alliance now, it could be seen as Russia being at war with NATO. President Biden approved an emergency declaration for Vermont following catastrophic flooding. Communities north of New York City are also cleaning up after torrential rain. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
A quick reaction in a fast food restaurant saves a man's life. According to WFRV News, the incident happened at a Green Bay A&W restaurant when a man had a diabetic seizure. Assistant manager Rachel Lyles and general manager John Coolwin luckily both had backgrounds in the medical field. They responded quickly, administering CPR and giving the man chest compressions while waiting for medical officials to arrive. The man was taken to a hospital and is recovering. If you're thinking about proposing marriage, why not do it at a place that is already famous for leaps? Lambeau Field. A website called Mixbook.com surveyed 3,000 single people and compiled a list of 250 popular spots in America for a wedding proposal. Lambeau Field is the 128th most popular spot to take a knee. Fond du Lac's Lakeside Park was another local destination for lovers, coming in at 191st. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin.
At noon, Civic Media Network News.
At 12:15, Town Call.
1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show.
3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute.
And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking Wisconsin budget once again, and the Evers budget veto leaving the state with a projected $4 billion surplus. My question to you, the people of Wisconsin, is how do you feel about Wisconsin sitting on a $4 billion surplus that won't be visited for at least 2 years? We're going to go to the phone lines. We got Teresa from Lodi. Teresa, what are your thoughts on the $4 billion surplus?
Hi, good afternoon. It makes me really angry that I'm paying taxes and they're just hoarding it. I'm on our Columbia County board. Employees more because we can't afford to run the county like it needs to be run. And then they want people to go to referendum to raise more money for schools because they're not funding them properly, and then they're sitting on all that cash. It's doing no good. It doesn't make any sense to me. I hope we can use this. This should be shouted from the rooftops. Use this to get rid of some of those Republicans and get more Democrats in to actually work for the people. They don't care about us at all.
Yeah, and Teresa, do you believe?
Hello?
Yep, no, appreciate the internet connectivity apparently today.
Sorry.
Some investment in broadband would maybe address that, but we're not going to see that with this $4 billion. But do you believe that this is an area of that state lawmakers led by the Republicans that run the legislature and the Evers administration should be able to find compromise on? Or do you believe that this is just a problem that we're going to see continue years from now, the next time the budget writers get together and focus on the next biennial budget?
Well, unless Evers can come up with a creative way to use the money, the Republicans are never going to use it unless they can give their wealthy buddies a tax break. They're not going to use it to help people. They've shown over and over. They don't take the money for the Medicaid expansion. They've never done anything that I've ever seen that has been helpful to the middle class and lower class people that live in Wisconsin. I don't understand their thought process. They don't care about anyone but themselves and money and power.
I think you nailed it right there. I think that's the thought process. I have my money. I have my power. I have my influence and connection. I don't really care what anybody else has to do or say.
Well, and why don't the people in this state stand up and say, we are not doing this anymore. You are not doing anything to support the people. They're not supporting the schools. They're not supporting the broadband. They have this 150-year-old abortion ban. It's just crazy to me that people can continue to vote for people who do nothing but hurt them.
I think that's a multifaceted issue, Teresa. We got a text actually from Madison saying something very similar. I'm glad they left money on the table for when we have a legislature that's actually accountable to the voters. To accomplish this, I'm hoping our new Supreme Court will implement some fair maps. The game changes once Voss loses his unilateral authority to decide everything that becomes law in the state. And Teresa, you know, we have seen at the state level, Tony Evers just won by 91,000 votes. Janet Protasiewicz won by 11%. That's a Wisconsin landslide. At the state level, elections have been going that route for the past, 5 to 10 years now. Ron Johnson is kind of the unique outlier in the sense that he has still won at the state level while Democrats have been winning otherwise across the board. But those gerrymandered maps, right? There's a reason that so much time and effort has been put into crafting the perfect maps cycle after cycle, because then you are not held accountable. You do not have to speak to the people that you represent. You don't have to worry about that. You're going to win your race just by the letter that's
you can let $4 billion sit and wait for 2 years.
Yeah. I ran for assembly seat District 42, and it's so gerrymandered that there is no way. I mean, they added Ripponon to an already gerrymandered area. It's impossible. I'm not going to say it's impossible, nearly impossible to win how it is right now. So I forgot about Janet Protasiewicz. So now that made me happy that you brought that up. So it's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to be clear that I think gerrymandering is unacceptable across the board. We should have independent third parties drawing the maps, but that the fact remains that conservative elected officials had no interest in that regardless. And they have shown that time and time again, both in Wisconsin and in North Carolina, where that case was just brought to the Supreme Court regarding independent state legislature. We have seen that only one team has any interest in an independent redistricting. And that should be the national standard, frankly.
Well, they can't win on their ideas. because they don't have any ideas. They can't win on helping and supporting communities or growing our economy because look at Foxconn. They're incapable. They don't understand economic development. They don't understand the most basic concept of what people want and need. They could not win, I don't believe, without the gerrymandering, because why vote for them? Voss got a 19% approval rating. That's not very good.
I think they know that too, Teresa, or they wouldn't be putting, again, they wouldn't be putting so much time and effort into concocting these perfect maps. They're very well aware that at the large scale, these policies are not popular with the vast majority of Wisconsinites and nationally with the vast majority of people. So they have to do and say what they can to retain this power, and gerrymandering has been the most effective and efficient means of doing so.
Yeah, that's sad. If you have to win by cheating, is it really winning? I mean, my conscience couldn't let me do that.
Yeah, it's an excellent point, Teresa.
Perhaps that's why you're not an elected conservative official, Teresa.
We appreciate the phone call, Teresa. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. If you want to join the conversation on this Tuesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Up next this afternoon, we've got Ken from Fond du Lac calling in. Ken, what's on your mind today?
Oh, not too much. That last caller, I don't know if she understands how interest works. When you put money into a bank, you receive interest.
Interest anyway, being acquired on the surplus that's sitting in the state coffers, Ken.
And you know how much amount of money that's going to be in 2 years?
Well, it will grow because tax collections will continue. Even though the government, the legislature, and the governor are not coming to compromise on how to spend the money, tax collections still happen. So, yes, the state coffers will grow over the next two-year budget as the state continues to collect taxes.
And every other program in the state has gone up. It's the highest per student ever, highest per municipality ever, highest everything increased across the board, everything. And there's a surplus, and it all has to be spent. I just don't. Why does it all have to be spent? Matter of fact, what should happen, it should be given back to the federal government and taken off the deficit so our grandkids and our great-grandkids and our great-great-great-grandkids don't have a $20 trillion deficit because the guy in the White House is spending money like a drunken sailor.
Joe Biden reduced the deficit by $3 trillion, Ken.
Yep. And it would be reduced a lot more if the money went back to the federal government, correct?
This is the state coffers. There's no guarantee that this would go towards the deficit if Wisconsin were to return it, but there are problems that Wisconsin is facing right now that this money could address. If you're talking about rising costs, why did the Republican-led legislature refuse to send back $150 to use this plus last year in 2022 to send every taxpayer in Wisconsin $150, return the surplus back to them in a tax rebate? Why didn't that happen?
We didn't need the money. Why did it happen?
Why did it not happen, Ken? There was a proposal by the governor, Governor Tony Evers, last year when we found out about the surplus, that he would return $150 to all Wisconsin taxpayers. It was a tax rebate to use the surplus, address rising costs however you wanted to. It was much smaller than $7 billion at that point, I believe, because collections continued to grow throughout 2022. But why did the Republican lawmakers not $150 and per person and return it to him last year was proposed by Evers,
and that was in January of 2022, so that was early last year.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't Tony Evers want to give the middle class a $2,500 tax break?
The Republican proposal did not give a $2,500 tax break to the middle class. That was what the average cost was, and disproportionately that went to the highest earners in the state. It was not targeted towards the middle class, Ken.
That's not how it's working. It's to the top because the top income earners are the ones that pay the most income tax.
That exactly. That's how averages work. You could say it's a $2,500 average because that's how averages work, Ken.
Remember, Ken, we went over the adjusted gross income. 50 to 60K average would have the average adjusted gross income of 50 to 60K would have received $165 decrease on their tax, not $2,500. If you were 60 to 70K, it would have been $250. The average looks much higher because the, for example, 11 individuals with an adjusted gross income of $75 million or more would have received an average decrease of $1.8 million. That brings the average significantly up.
Yes, and they also pay $18.5 million in income tax.
Okay, so that's a middle class, but Ken, hang on real quick. Got a question for you.
No, you think that I don't understand how the left thinks. You think the middle class are the ones that are bringing jobs in, building homes, building apartment buildings, building housing? People with money are doing that. If you want to keep taxing the rich, guess what? Milwaukee's going to find out real shortly what's going to happen when you're going to put a 2% increase in taxes. Nobody's going to buy nothing in that county. They're going to go over to the county and buy cars. A 2% on $40,000, $50,000? Do the math. You people want to be taxed. People don't enjoy being taxed. I don't care if you're on the left, right, middle, upside down. People do not want to be taxed.
I don't have a problem being taxed, Ken, as long as I can see that my tax dollars are at work. And when a $4 surplus is sitting there for 2 years, I can actually use this $4 billion. We're just going to kick it down the road. I think you're right. There's going to be a lot of people that are upset, but I don't know if it's because they're upset about paying the taxes. I think it's going to be because they're upset that people that are in charge of spending how taxes are spent are saying, we're not going to do the work. We're just going to delay this until next go around. You're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. You can contribute to the conversation on this Tuesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. Up next, real quick before the break, we got Jack from Merrimack calling in. Jack, what are your thoughts on a $4 billion surplus being kicked back another 2 years?
Well, the first thing is that that shouldn't have ever happened, but the Republicans had to try and figure out creative ways to give millions and millions back to their billionaire owners, I mean donors. The second thing is that money could have been used, of course, for public schools. Now we have Milwaukee having to raise the sales tax in order to just put a little bit more money into Milwaukee city programs. We've got the ability of people to raise taxes, property taxes for schools by 300 and some odd dollars, supposedly forever. But, of course, that won't go beyond the next budget. And, of course, we also have $3,000 coming from our state coffers in what I call private school welfare per student. So.
Yeah, it's important to point out what other provisions were included in the budget, Jack. I appreciate your phone call. You can be like Jack or you can be like Ken up in Fond du Lac. 844-967-2789.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin.
At noon, Civic Media Network News.
At 12:15, Town Call.
1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show.
3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute.
And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal.
my way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 77. Northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 59. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, highs level off around 72. Cloudy skies expected. Turning warmer Thursday and Friday, with highs from the upper 70s to the mid-80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 72.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be.
Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking Wisconsin budget once again, and how do you feel about Wisconsin sitting on a $4 billion surplus that won't be visited for at least the next 2 years? And Luke, going back to a conversation from the first segment of the show about the tax brackets themselves, right, and how Wisconsin only has four, I want to note a tweet I saw from Senator Chris Larson that in 1932, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different tax brackets broke up by $1,000 increments. So $1 to $1,000, $1,000 to $2,000, $2,000 to $3,000, etc. Adjusted for inflation in 2023 dollars, that's about a $30,000 bracket, if you will. So $1 to $30,000 is bracket one, $30,000 to $60,000 bracket two, etc. If we had this kind of progressive tax system still in place with this many brackets, it would allow hyper targeted relief to individuals that should qualify, rather than having a bracket that's, you know, $27,000 to $300,000, having it all encompassed into one. And then we're sitting here having to discuss whether somebody with $27,000 income is living the same lifestyle as somebody with a $300,000 income. The whole argument tends to come back to, should we be giving relief to the middle class, which obviously would be excellent. And you could do if you had hyper-targeted tax brackets. You found a pretty interesting piece we were discussing during the break. Would you like to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, it's just important to point out that, as I believe Ken from Fond du Lac was pointing out, that nobody likes paying taxes. Well, a report at the end of last year, getting published back in October of 2022, on this story written up over at Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin tax burden falls to lowest level in decades. So throughout the report by the Wisconsin Policy Forum, it shows how Wisconsin taxpayers have had a lower percentage of tax burden in the last 20 years. And so, yeah, nobody likes paying taxes. We have this surplus while the tax burden is low. It makes ample sense to be able to use the surplus then to invest in the state. It does not necessarily need to be a targeted tax cut to, as apparently Ken is classifying them, as the middle class for millionaires that are making, or what, 75, or I forget the number breakdown. I don't do all the math on the radio, Will, but you had the excellent numbers about who was receiving the benefits of what the
11.
Republican
there are 11 earners with a gross adjusted income of 75 million or more, which will receive 1.8 million average decrease. Just to give you a little bit of a bit of the other numbers behind the scenes, Luke, the bracket below that, which is 30 million to 75 million in adjusted gross income, still, you know, incredibly, incredibly, fabulously wealthy. There were 44 individuals who qualified for that bracket. They would have received an average decrease of 381,000. So still a lot of money, and I'm not saying it's not, but the jump itself quite literally O-1s. 381,000 in tax relief compared to 1.8 million in tax relief is still a massive, massive jump. And every bracket below that continues to drop. Even 15 to 30 million adjusted gross income, their average decrease was 180,000. 10 million to 15 million was 113,000. So it was quite literally a tax cut going to the 11 wealthiest people in the state of Wisconsin. And it's, I think it's incredibly disingenuous to talk about. And we got a text from Mark from Prairie du Sac, who noted that it's demand that produces economic growth, not giving to those that benefit from the socialist infrastructure that industry and business use to make profit. And Mark is exactly correct. Demand creates, demand incentivizes corporations to produce, and that is what drives economic growth. These individuals who have built their careers, their companies, their entire lives in the state are not going to flee because all of a sudden they have a slightly higher tax burden. That's absolutely absurd. And it's the same argument we see at the national level, where that people are like, well, the rich people are going to flee America and they're going to go somewhere else if we increase their taxes. Where are they going to go? Everything they've ever known is here. They're not going to leave. They need to contribute their fair share to the economy that we have all built together.
And an important other text to point out from the 608 listening up in La Crosse, they say they don't mind paying taxes. They just don't want to have crappy roads to ride on like it was when Walker was in office, referencing former Governor Scott Walker. And they like their state parks taken care of. They don't mind paying taxes, and they appreciate listening over there on WLCX in La Crosse, one of the newer stations added to the Civic Media Network. The state is facing, according to a different report out from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, or excuse me, this out from the Wisconsin Counties Association, talking about how it is demand. We need workers here. In Wisconsin, to be able to address the worker shortage that we are going to face by the end of the decade. The state of Wisconsin is going to be 130,000 workers shy, and it is those middle class workers that need to come to the state in droves over the next 7 years for us to be able to address that problem, which is one of the lingering issues that this $4 billion that is going to sit in surplus could also help address. But it's not going to over the next 2 years the way that the table is set right now.
Are you telling me, Luke, that labor drives the American economy, not capital? That's crazy thought process and something that you would likely not hear from a large subset of national representatives. But we, the people, we, the workforce, are the ones who are driving growth, and we need to be the ones who are protected accordingly. I don't understand what the role of a surplus or even the state government in general would be if it's not to protect its citizens. Am I wrong in this understanding? Why do we even have this then?
Let's try to squeeze in one more caller here on Town Call before the end of the show. We got Joe and Madison calling in. Joe, what's on your mind this Tuesday afternoon?
I just wanted to echo the sentiments that it is demand, and the demand of people in the lower classes, middle classes, that create the jobs, that create the wealth. And it's so logical. All you have to do is think about, well, if you've got extra money in your pocket and you're, you know, a single mom with three kids, you've got more money in your pocket from a tax cut or some sort of benefit, you spend it. You spend it on new jeans for the kids. You spend it on school supplies. You save up and buy a new car. That's what creates the demand. That's what creates the growth. And I do, you know, I don't think you can emphasize enough that sometimes our people are saying average, and they don't mean average. There's a difference in economic terms between average and the median. Median is half above, half below. The average can be skewed very easily. Think of six guys in a bar who are all earning $50,000 a year. You can say that's their average. Bill Gates walks into that bar. Is the average salary now what has been affected by Bill Gates' numbers calling out what the equation is? Median is not the same as average, and it's important that people see that difference.
Yes.
Because that's how you get the 11 people who are getting that incredible tax break while the rest of us aren't.
We exactly, appreciate the call, Joe.
Exactly.
Well, notoriously,
Giannis and I average
exactly 15. We averaged 25 points in Game 6, the NBA Finals. Will, great minds think alike. Folks, this has been Town Call. Check out the podcast if you miss any edition. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15.
Take it easy, party people.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.